I wonder as I wander. That was brilliant, by the way, both of you. That was Christmas that was pure Christmas magic. But quite literally, I do often find myself wondering as I wander. For me, it happens out in the woods on the edge of town, if you're familiar with Exeter, back at Fort Rock in the Oaklands. It doesn't matter the season, the summer, winter, fall, spring. It's one of my favorite places to reset, is back on those trails. There's like this old familiarity, but yet it always gives way to something fresh every time I'm out there. You see, there's something about nature that can kind of help us recenter, yeah? Does that make sense? Yeah? To reorder our often cynical egos towards a more positive one of wonder. I mean, even back in, you know, back a long, you know, years and years and years ago when I first started off at those trails, I was doing mountain biking. And think about it. It was wonder that even started the process from the beginning, right? Like wondering what is going to be up that hill or around that corner or over that stream or that little bridge or whatever that was down there. Like every pedal was propelling me, like there was wonder propelling me towards that next thing around the corner. It's like, think about when you drive up into the White Mountains, or you're driving up into any sort of, you know, mountainous area, right? When you get there and you're driving up north and the mountains start to appear over the horizon in the distance. And so we start to think to ourselves, right? We wonder, what would it be like to be on top of that hill? So what do? We either climb it, we hike it, or if we're lazy, we drive up the auto road on Mount Washington, right? But we get to get up there because we wonder what it's like up there. Did you catch the second to last verse that Pastor Steve read a few moments ago from the Gospel of Luke? After all these events that Luke was recording, Pastor Steve read that Mary was keeping all that was happening in her head? No, in her heart, right? She was pondering these things in her heart. You see, this word that's often translated here as pondering, it comes from the root word of sambalo, right? This word literally means to throw all that is happening together. Like picture a big cauldron or a big pot of everything that's happening. You're throwing it in there. And you're mixing it up. Hence, this word in the Greek means to discuss within one's self all these things that are happening, to consider things, or we could say to wonder in one soul. Notice how St. Luke doesn't record Mary. She wasn't trying to scientifically prove how all these things were happening, or she wasn't trying to mathematically reason in her head. And she also wasn't composing a theological synopsis on the hypostatic union of man and God to fill books with her wisdom and experience. Think about it. In Luke's recount, he says that the mother of Jesus made room for the Christ by simply pondering, considering, by contemplating, treasuring, keeping close to her heart the wonder of the moment. And you see, by our very creation, we're born with an innate propensity to wonder, aren't we? Right? Like this is our journey. I mean, consider an infant, right? Completely lacking any of the adult-like reason in life, just laying there on a blanket. Picture an infant laying in a blanket. I actually remember doing this when our firstborn out in Indiana, when Abigail was born. And I remember talking to Mark about this one time, and it was a very similar story. We got home from the hospital. It was just me and Anna. We're sitting there on the couch. We put her on the blanket, and we're like, well, what do we do now? Like, right? So what we did, as what a lot of first parents do, and we just sat there and stared at her. Right? We stared at her in wonder. Think about this. As she was lost in wonder at everything that was so fresh and new, all the sights and the sounds and the smells, the various kinds of touch and taste. She was experiencing the breath of life for the very first time. You see, children can take simple pleasure in their own reflection. Think about kids growing up and they see themselves for the first time in a mirror or in a window, or a song repeated over and over. And where is he? And over again. Or even in a puddle by the side of the road. True story here, okay? Each and every week, Monday through Friday, my wife and I play rock, paper, scissors to see who has to go bring the kids, the two youngest ones, to the bus. We don't actually play rock, paper, scissors, but we do have like a proverbial like, okay, whose turn is it today to go bring the kids to the bus? And each and every day, our two kids, 5 and 7, Isabel and Aaron, find themselves fascinated every single walk by this one puddle that forms about halfway to the bus stop. On the far side of this sharp corner where the water main causes like these frost heaves and all the wear and the tear to kind of pull up in the concrete. And every day, as I don't know if this happens when you're doing it, but every day as we're approaching that puddle, they start questioning, like, they wonder, like, what is around that? What is that? What's that puddle going to be doing? Is it going to be full of water? Is it going to be kind of dry today? You know, how much water is going to be in there? Or maybe they'll even shove their dry sneakers into it to try to see how deep this puddle is going to be. Yeah, you think that's funny, huh? Yeah. It's usually Aaron, okay. Or as of late, we've been finding out that puddle's very frozen, right? It's been so cold. Yeah. But you see, children inhabit a world of wonder. Right, this enchanted life of innocence, right? A ladybug on a leaf or a snowflake on a tongue. You see, these things that children are attracted to, they have enough mystery to awaken wonder within a child. I like this. As Pastor Brian Zahn says, he goes, a healthy childhood is the wonder of Eden discovered in your own backyard. That's beautiful, isn't it? A healthy childhood, this is the whole quote, is the wonder of Eden discovered in your own backyard, he says, but then we grow up. And the backyard becomes little more than a lawn to be mowed. In childhood, we dream of growing up and finding adventure. When I was young, I could not wait to be 30. For some reason, I thought that was the be-all, end-all age, right? But instead, we grow up wanting to grow up finding adventure, and instead we find a job, right? Like children, they're in such a hurry to grow up. Ask any kid how old they are, and they're not going to tell you that they're 6 or 7 or 8 or 9. They'll figure out where in that year they are. I'm 6 and a half, right? I'm 7 and 3 quarters. Because we imagine that adulthood brings unimagined freedom, don't we, when we're young? Kids understand that there are limitations upon childhood. They can't just do every single thing that they please. And yeah, it's true that certain freedoms come with adulthood, right? More independence. But it also comes with the grind of responsibility. That grind that can kill wonder. When I was a child, this author writes, I caught a fleeting glimpse out of the corner of my eye. I looked up and it was gone. I cannot put a finger on it now. The child is grown, the dream is gone, and I have become comfortably numb. Pink Floyd, yeah? Pink Floyd on a little Christmas Eve. It's a sad song, though. Beautiful guitar playing, but a sad song. Yet think about this. Many of us take this comfortably numb loss of childlike wonder as an unavoidable part of our journey, as if like the wonder is going to get in the way of so-called the real life stuff. You know, but what is the point of, what is real life? Is it simply to just keep soldiering on? You know, just bored on the way to something better or something that we don't know, you know, where it is? By the way, boredom is simply the loss of wonder. I mean, that kind of makes sense when you think about it. That's why we lose our sense of wonder, and so we find ourselves just like comfortably numb. But I contend that life without wonder isn't real life. Life without wonder simply seems to be just a compressed into just existing. And for me at least, I want more than just merely existing. I want more than just to exist. Because Mary kept all these things in her heart. She was pondering them, wondering about them. She was wondering what it could all mean. And so my friends, perhaps wonder is the key to Christmas. Maybe wonder is the key to life as God intended it to be. Perhaps wonder is the key to transforming our hearts and noticing the light of Christ dwelling within. Perhaps wondering and pondering like Mary is the key to making room for our lives, in our lives, for Christ this season. So perhaps tonight, And during this Christmas season, we can simply slow down, you know, take a deep breath and bask in the wonder of it all, of Emmanuel, God with us, and lead into this invitation to simply be present to the wonder that's found in every corner of creation. I remember a few years back, it was one of those magical Christmas mornings. We had just started the fire in the living room. The kids had come down the stairs, and we opened up the curtains, and would you believe it, it was, you know, a bunch of snow starting to, you know, form on the ground and the snowflakes. It was just absolute magic. And we have a picture, I think, of Isabel at the window with it. I don't know. Maybe your season, as hard as it may be right now at any given point in life, I don't know where everyone is right now, but maybe this season can be for you a chance to just gain a tiny bit of that same childlike wonder of waking up on Christmas morning with a fire and the presents under the tree and just the snow falling. Amen. Amen.